Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Ines. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura.
So happy to have you here. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I write kissing books. I have over 80 romance novels I haven't counted since I got to 80. It's probably closer to 100 by now. I write steamy paranormal romance as well as steamy contemporary romance under the pen name Ines Johnson.
So talk to us about like what led you to start writing. Were you a romance reader growing up, or you stumble upon it like a few years ago and they're like, you know what, we need to have more kissing books, you know?
So my godmother was an avid Harlequin romance reader. If you remember like the ones that were so set up thin, instead of like in her kitchen, instead of cans and canned goods and spaghetti boxes, her shelves in her pantry were lined with Harlequin romances. And then there were even boxes of unpacked romances on the floor. And I saw books. And I said, can I read some? And she's like, sure, so go take as much as you want. Now remember, they were the thin Harlequin, so there wasn't really much detail. But they were kissing in those books. And I loved it. So I grabbed handfuls, went through them, put them back, grabbed more handfuls. She was a never-ending repository of books. And so that's when I started when I was 12 years old.
My gosh, I was 12 and I was reading Sweet Valley High. Like my grandmother was a thriller reader. And so she tried just legal drama because she's a lawyer. And she's like, try to get me to read Mary Higgins Clark and John Grisham. And I was like, no. So I discovered Sweet Valley High, I stumbled upon Babysitter's Club. I'm in Puerto Rico. So like the options were limited. And so I Sweet Valley High. But what it kept me going was like the dating part, like the love stories, like they're like the drama and stuff like that. I really like it. But it was the love stories, and it took me like, I don't know, 20 years later to discover there's a whole genre that's just love stories. And I was like,
mom, if it doesn't have a love story, it will not hold my attention.
Yeah, like I just need to know like the relationship, like what's gonna happen, like all the fun stuff. So what happened, what made you decide to start writing it, you know?
Even though I was reading, I was a voracious reader, and even though I was, it didn't occur to me to write. I loved television, I loved PBS Kids, I loved Saturday morning cartoons, I loved after school specials, loved it. And I knew that that's what I was going to do. And that's what I went to school for. I went to school for screenwriting and media production and how to be a producer. And that's what I did for a number of years, but I was always reading. And you know, at some point, and I know exactly when this point was, it's when Twilight came out. And people were just going on and on about Twilight. And I was like, she's not a trained writer, huh? I'm a trained screenwriter. I bet I could write a book. And I wrote a book, and it was not the best thing in the world because it was hard. Because screenwriting and writing prose, two completely different skills, but it was fun. And so I wrote that book, and then I wrote another one, and then I think I wrote another one. And then a friend of mine, we're like, let's publish these. You know, there's this whole new Amazon KDP, and people are independently publishing their books. Let's do it. And so we did it. And I tell you, that first month, it was December 14th, 14th or 12th, 2014. And I put my book up there, put it up for 99 cents, because that was the thing back then, sell the book for 99 cents. And I wasn't looking to get rich. I was just like, oh my gosh, I hope someone reads my book. People started reading my book. I made like $100 that month on this 99 cent book. And I was hooked. I thought it was the best thing in the world. And so I published another, and I published another, and I kept on going.
And you have been doing this almost 10 years later. So much has changed in the past 10 years in the publishing world. What have been some of the things that you realize like that changed that you're like, you wish you knew back then, and at the same time, like you're grateful things changed, you know, now?
I wish back then I had leaned more into tropes and writing to market. I understood that stuff coming from the television world. I really understood what a market was. And I didn't think that it was this, that there was a market in the book world, but there 1000% is. And my earlier books were kind of genre hopping all over the place and mixing and mashing genres. And now I'm much more focused, which makes me much more successful because readers know exactly what they're going to get when they come to one of my books. So I wish I had known that when I was just a baby writer.
It's really interesting. I think, like, honestly, understanding the market, and the market has shifted. Like, it still shifts. Like, you know, I've been doing this for 5 years, and I can tell you, it shifted dramatically over the past like 3 years. Like, pandemic shifted, like, turned the world upside down for indies, and we're moving in a faster paced direction. You know,
true. We are moving at a faster pace. I think what also people should pay attention to is there's evergreen stories and categories and genres, and then there's trending stories and categories and genres. And there are times when those trends stick around so long that they become evergreen. That doesn't always happen. So sometimes you'll have writers get caught up in a trend. Like, for example, right now, monster romance is big, but it's starting to dwindle. So it doesn't look like it's going to be evergreen. Whereas there was once upon a time, a few years ago, reverse harem was a big trend. Yeah. And that's still around. Reverse harem still has a rabid fan base. So that trend is now evergreen. And you can't really predict, like, what's going to stick around and what's not. But I think that's something that authors should be aware of, that things come and go, and then some things come and stick around and stay for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, so good to hear. All right. So we got to talk some books now. Like, we talk shop, but like, let's talk some books. Let's talk about Grim Prince. What is Alberta Page?
For Grim Prince?
Yep.
So I am fascinated by fairy tales and mythology. So, but I mostly write in a paranormal world, and I wanted to write a small town contemporary world. So Grim Prince and the Grimm's Valley romances are all fairy tale and mythological retellings that take place in this one town. And there's no one thinks that they're a fairy tale creature, but you can totally tell that every single one of them are, but it's happening in our modern world without real magic.
All right. So what was the research process like for you growing up? Read their Grimm's fairy tales, or like watch Disney movies, like, or like look at Greek mythology, and like, you know, like how do you get that seed of inspiration? Because I'm always curious when we talk about like fairy tales and Greek mythology and retellings, because there's different, like, coming from different places, you know.
I like watching things being reinterpreted. I love the idea that a whole bunch of people can have the germ of a story idea, and you're going to come away with 5, 10, 20 different stories, all based on this simple seed of an idea. And that's what a fairy tale or a mythological tale is to me. It's a story that's been passed down orally, but people heard it differently and they put their own spin on it. So that's my favorite thing about retellings, is that you get to put your spin on it. Like, you have a Cinderella character, but what if you don't like the stepmom? Well, maybe instead she has a stepfather. So it's small things like that that I think can make a really big impact in the new way to interpret a story.
Love this. And so paranormal also deals with some world building, you know, rules, magics, and stuff like that. And so what was your process of like coming up with your world, like putting it all together?
So with Grimm's Valley, it's not paranormal, but I do typically write paranormal romance. And what fascinates me the most really about paranormal is not necessarily the magic, not necessarily the supernatural power that a being might have. I think one of the main facets of paranormal romance is found family, especially if it's going to be wolf shifters, right? They're in a pack. Or if it's vampires, they've known each other for possibly hundreds of years, and they still find a reason to connect. I'm fascinated by this idea of having a found family in romance novels.
I love this. I didn't think of that. And I'm like, now I'm like, oh yeah, it makes total sense. Like it's, that's what it like, it combines. That's the glue that combines the world. It's like the found family, whether it's a pack, whether it's like, and like even the loner vampire, there's still like a political system that takes care of that loner vampire. So like there's rules within it that connects that glue together. Mm-hmm. So I love this. All right. So got a chat book recommendation. So what kind of books do you tend to read? You mentioned romance growing up, but like you're still a romance reader, and what kind of romance?
1000% romance. So I typically spend my reading time reading historicals and or paranormal romance. Mm-hmm. If I write a historical romance, then that's probably a call for help because there's so much research that goes into that. I don't think that I will ever write a historical romance. But I love them and they allow my brain to relax because I know I'm not going to write that. I just love being in a paranormal world. So, my favorite trope is forced proximity when the hero and the heroine are forced to be together and they can't get away from each other and they just have to work it out. It's like a puzzle that you have to solve. I love that. Two of my favorite, I will reread these books one night, wake up, go to bed the next night and reread it again. One is Dragonbound by Thea Harrison. Mm-hmm. Oh, that book is just perfection to me. When someone explained it to me, a woman steals, you learn this in the first chapter, so I'm not spoiling you, but a woman steals a penny from a dragon. Yeah. She was blackmailed into stealing something from a dragon. She gets into his lair. She steals a penny. And this dragon loses his mind and tracks this woman down until he captures her. Because out of all the riches in his hoard, she stole a penny. And thus begins one of the best love stories I've ever read in my life. It's called Dragonbound by Thea Harrison. And another of my favorites, it's vampire romance, Once Burned by Janine Frost. Mm-hmm. It's the first book in the Night Prince series. I get them all confused, but I love all of her heroes. And there's all of them deal with some kind of a forced proximity in there as well. But my favorite is the Night Prince series. And that's another one that I will just read over and over again. There's this ancient vampire who can read minds. And start fire with his hands. And he falls for a woman who she got electric shock when she was young, and now she can harness voltage, but it doesn't affect him. So it's, of course they're gonna fall in love with each other because they can touch.
Gosh, I love these. And do you have any historical recommendation? Who's your historical? I would say who's your comfort read, and then any recommendation you're I'll reread this, or just this is a good start.
So this might start controversy because I believe that the best Kleypas hero, the best Lisa Kleypas hero is Winterbourne. I will read Marrying Winterbourne over and over and over again and then again and then again. That is my bedtime story. If I'm having trouble falling asleep, I will put that on. And I might fall asleep around chapter 3, right? And then the next night, if I'm having trouble sleeping again, I will go all the way back to chapter 1. And then read it again. I adore that story. And I think I adore it so much because the kind of hero that Winterbourne is, he had to pull himself up by his bootstraps. And even though he's one of the most richest men in the city, he still doesn't believe that he is deserving of this woman who he basically blackmailed into marrying him. But he doesn't believe he's deserving of him. So, yes, those are my three favorite books. The only one that I didn't mention, because I have four. So the only one I didn't mention is Bet Me by Jennifer Crusie.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I need to read
at least her. Once a year. Start with that one.
Okay.
At least once a year, I reread that book.
Oh my gosh. She's been mentioned. She's quite a few times. It is in my list of authors.
Move it to the top.
I will bump it up for sure. So Ines, tell us where you can find you online.
So you can find me on my website, ineswrites.com. And I'm not very good on the social medias. I'm great If you sign up for my newsletter and you email me, I love to have a conversation over email. But the, social media is not my strength. But I am there on Instagram at Inez Writes, on Facebook at Inez Johnson Author. And every once in a while, I will put my face up on TikTok and be silly. So you can find me over there. I'm also, surprise, Inez Writes.
This is so good. Thank you, Inez, for being on the show.
You're welcome.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.